This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. This morning we're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. And we're going to be talking about several different subjects this morning. In the first segment, Diana Rust is with us, along with Heather Arrington. And we're going to be talking about the Academic Success Series at MTSU. That already has a nice positive ring to it. Academic Success Series. Good to have you both with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Tell us what you do at MTSU.
Well, I'm the Associate Dean of University College, and we have a lot of programs that we're responsible for. Our motto is that we make student success possible. So one of the programs we have we're going to be talking in depth about today, and that is our Academic Success Series. But we're in charge of a lot of the programs that deal with students entering college, being successful, bringing adults back to complete their degree in a successful way, and reaching out to people that may not always be able to have access to higher education. So we also deal with off-campus programs and distance learning programs, as well as the traditional student who starts as a freshman.
That was Dr. Diana Rust, by the way. And Heather Arrington, tell us what you do at MTSU.
Yes, I'm an academic advisor in the University College Advising Center, and I am one of the few advisors who helped create this series.
What is the series all about, the Success Series?
Well, for the fall, our title is How to Be a Successful MTSU Student. So we include topics such as time management, study skills, getting started at MTSU, what does that mean? We do sessions on things like critical thinking, how to use your academic advisor. Many students have no idea who their advisor is, how to find them or how to use them. And later on in the semester, as we get towards final exams, we have a session devoted just to preparing for those final exams.
Now, I can see how students wouldn't have this information, but how do they discover you to get the information?
Yes, certainly. Well, our college as a whole has a great website, and you can find our college at www.mtsu.edu/UC. for University College. From there, you can look for the University College Advising Center, and we have information there about our Success Series.
I guess college really for a lot of young people, and the colleges are different from what they used to be several decades ago. It's a variety of ages now, but for students who are just out of high school, this is a taste of freedom for them. And it gives them many opportunities to do things they've never done before. And as a result, maybe some of the educational part sort of falls by the wayside for a while. Is this to help get them on track and keep them on track?
Yes, it is. I think that students are coming to us, and MTSU has grown, as you know, and the community here has grown, and many people are coming to us from even smaller communities where MTSU can seem overwhelming to some students. You know, other students have gone to large high schools, and they may acclimate a little bit easier, but even so, we have grown our academic support services to such a degree that if students don't attend sessions like this, if they don't check out the website, they're not going to realize all the support available to them. We do have a great library series, and one of the academic support series that we're doing is just about how to use the library. But our librarians will chat with students. They will instant message with students. Things that when I was a student at MTSU, to talk to a librarian, I had to go to the library and sit down and talk to one. But our librarians now are doing so many things to acclimate our students to using our library resources. And as many people know, we have a wonderful library at MTSU. And then once they get there, they can actually get one-on-one instruction with a librarian on how to use all the online databases. They're moving a lot of our things online now, fewer and fewer books, actually. But this academic success series is a way for 30, 45, 50 students to come at one location at one time and get instruction in our library. And it will be very different than the library they used in high school, no matter how large the high school they went to.
Are you finding that social networking is a vital part of communicating with students, especially in your area?
Certainly. I know in our office, several of our advisors actually use Facebook to communicate with their students. So it's a huge part of how students interact with us as administrators and staff and faculty on campus. It's also how they communicate with each other, and it's how they find out about what's going on campus. They don't read the emails that we send them, unfortunately, but they do read Twitter. So if we tweet about the Academic Success Series, they're likely to click on the link and get the information.
So that's the secret, then, getting the link, because you can't tweet them a big enough message, I don't
guess. Right. We tweet them a little link that gives them enough curiosity that they'll go out and look at that.
That has to be a challenge to come up with the sentences to create that interest in a tweet.
Right. That's why we have a really good marketing team in our college. This semester, we are actually using that marketing for this Academic Success Series. And this is a relatively new series of workshops, and it's gradually growing in its wide-reaching demographics to our whole campus. And so our marketing team in our college is doing a great job of we already have a plan for a Twitter campaign and a Facebook campaign. We're here today obviously talking about it. Hopefully there are some students out there listening. But we have about 10 different things that we're doing to get this out across campus.
One thing too we have not touched on in depth, we've talked about the library and how phenomenal that is. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons I guess students, especially in their freshman year, have problems is they don't do well on tests. They don't study well. Can you help in that area?
Sure, we can. And what we've done is we have some specific sessions for the Academic Success Series just on how to prepare for your final exam. And we've scheduled that late in the semester. So it's going to happen November 29th and December 6th, because we found that typically students are doing things sort of just in time. And so we wanted this series to be just at the time they should be getting ready for their finals. And we're going to help students understand how to get a battle plan for that last few weeks of the semester. I know anyone who's attended college knows that as much work that you do, it seems like you're working all the time, but when you get down to finals, it's crunch time, and it seems like 8 things are due, and students can tend to feel overwhelmed. It's also the time of the semester students tend to feel maybe sick. I mean, they're beginning to get a little run down. Maybe the nutrition isn't as good as it was when they were eating at home. We have a great health services department as well, and an on-campus pharmacy. So the one thing I'll say about MTSU is we make sure we take care of the whole student. You know, we're talking about them academically being healthy, but we're also helping them physically be healthy with the rec center and the campus pharmacy and health services. And then we're helping them be socially and emotionally healthy and learning how to be successful in that way through this Academic Success Series.
You know, in real life, you hear so many people talk about those first impressions are the important ones, especially when you're going in to apply for a job. It's that first impression that counts. And I would guess that impression, how you put yourself forward in writing and things of that sort, would have the same end result in the academic world. How about giving that winning presentation in writing? Are those available?
Yes. We actually have 2 sessions that would help students with that. We have one that focuses on how to prepare and plan and actually give a good presentation. That's one of the things that all MTSU students have to do at some point before they graduate. So they will be learning how to actually give those presentations. And so we do a series on that where actually someone from our admissions office who has a particular skill in that area comes in and does that presentation. He's phenomenal with that. As far as the interviewing skills, we do touch a little bit on helping students choose the right career for them, but with this series, we don't really get into the interviewing piece of that because this is highly attended by first and second year students, and not as many of them are into the interviewing phase for jobs yet.
And I guess one other area that is so crucial is to decide what type of career you need and to try to match the classes to that. And these days, it seems like you'll find a lot of students majoring in one item, one area, and then when they graduate, they don't work in that area for some reason. Are you trying to get those two more closely matched?
Yes, exactly. Our office actually in the University College Advising Center, as advisors, we are trained how to help students choose the correct major for them. And it's not just come in, let's sit down and flip through the catalog and find something that sounds cool or interesting. Let's actually take some inventories and do some research about those careers and find out, what are you good at? What do you like to do? What gets you out of bed in the morning? And let's see if we can't find a career that goes along with that. So we certainly do that every day in our office with students.
And again, you mentioned the catalog, which is now all
online.
Electronic.
It is, yes. All of the new online features are wonderful for the catalog. And it's definitely, we've used it a lot this summer with new student orientation, and the students have received it very well.
That seems to be the trend nowadays. Everything is online, electronic, things of that sort. Even classes, to a degree. Are those pretty popular, the online classes?
Yes, our online classes are growing every semester and becoming a way that even traditional students sometimes, you know, now our traditional students are working, you know, most of them. And it's even a way for some traditional students to still carry a full load and still meet the other obligations they have in their life. But we've designed them really for the adult student market and the adults that are planning to return to college so that they can do that without having to leave the occupation they're typically in somewhere. And we have students from so many counties in Middle Tennessee, but also we have some out-of-state students. And many of them were alumni that left MTSU maybe with a few classes left, and then they got back in touch with us and found out they can finish their degree without having to travel all the way back to Murfreesboro.
Let me ask you this, because I noticed that you are the Associate Dean of the University College.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a degree in University College?
Yes, there are. We have a Bachelor of Science in Liberal Studies. We also have a Bachelor of Science in Professional Studies. That degree has several concentrations. We have an Information Technology concentration, Organizational Leadership, Healthcare Administration, we have International Organizational Leadership, so we have several options. Those degrees can be earned completely online, so someone who's place-bound, someone who lives in a more rural area or works in a occupation where they really can't get to MTSU on a regular basis can pursue those majors completely online. We also have graduate online degrees now, and in our college we have a Master's of Professional Studies in Strategic Leadership and also in Training and Development.
For looking at some of the graduates that you've had who have learned online, do you have any really distant ones? Are there some that come to mind that, you know, in some foreign country way back in the bushes or something?
You know, the first guy that popped into my mind was actually from Texas, and that's not a foreign country, but the reason I thought of him is because he was one of my advisees, and he had been at MTSU and was in a popular program that somebody really gave him a great job opportunity before he finished his bachelor's, and he took off for that great job opportunity. And then a few years back when the economy and people started having to downsize and resized, he was downsized and decided that bachelor's was something he probably needed on his resume and had the most credit hours with us and didn't want to start over with a school in Texas. So he finished through us, even though he was living in Texas for several years, but he did come back and walk in the graduation line. And the reason I remember him is because he came by my office to meet me in person because we had had a 4-year advising relationship without seeing one another. And so it was great to see him in person. But you know, we some other examples that come to mind, we actually have some active military that are serving overseas that are not, you know, international students, but they are living abroad. And this is a great way for them to go ahead and start using their military benefits and get started on their higher education. And then, of course, when they finish, they can come back to this area and even take classes on ground if they haven't finished online.
Some exciting things, it sounds like, going on at the University College at MTSU. How can people find out more about what you're offering?
Well, our website is a great place to start, which is www.mtsu.edu/UC for University College. But they can also call our office, and we'd be more than happy to have them do that. If they're interested in the Academic Success Series, if they call 898-2339, that is the office that can give them more information about this. And we also are on Facebook, so our University College does have a Facebook page. We'd love for people to friend us on Facebook so you can get more information about us. And I would also say, because we do serve so many different types of students, Heather has done a wonderful thing, and she puts all of the information, the PowerPoints, from each of these sessions on our website.
Wow.
So even right now, people who are sophomores can come, or people who are living away, or even high schoolers that think, some of this information would help me. How do I study and prepare for a test? It's just free and open to the public. If they want to go out and look at those PowerPoints, I think this could help a lot of people in the community, in addition to the MTSU students we serve.
Well, thank you again for all that the university does. What a great asset for Middle Tennessee, and especially for Murfreesboro. Dr. Diana Rust with us, the Associate Dean of the University College, and Heather Arrington, an advisor in the University College's Advisor Center. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much more to come here on WGNS as our focus continues on MTSU. Stay with us, won't you?
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
My name is Frank Bowie. I work at Ford of Murfreesboro. I work in the service department. Been working on Fords for 26 years.
Hi, this is David Lee, general manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been part of the Ford family for almost 6 years now.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning on the scene of minor accident, Interstate 24 westbound at Haywood Lane that has traffic very slow. Go as you're making your way into Davidson County on this Monday morning commute, so be very careful out there. Murfreesboro Road also very heavy with stop-and-go traffic through Smyrna and Laverne. And all of your points of access to the interstate very busy, especially their Old Fort Parkway and South Church Street. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant's been voted the best Mexican restaurant by the Tennessean and the Nashville scene. Also voted cleanest with the best service. Have dinner tonight. Go online, LasPalmasMXRest.com. I'm Charlie Sonny, and that's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Mostly sunny skies today as temperatures climb towards 83 degrees. Northwest winds 5 to 10. For tonight, mostly clear. Temperatures dropping back towards 64. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 68.
Hello, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We are a safe, sound, and stable bank. Come and see why there's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
Hey! stand by.
G. Gordon Liddy is on the Good Neighbor Network.
It's I, the G-Man.
G. Gordon Liddy, weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
And welcome back. We're continuing our focus on Middle Tennessee State University. And with us now, Laurie Witherow. She's going to be talking about the new President's Task Force on Nonviolence and Conflict Resolution. And this was unveiled, August 28th hasn't gotten here yet. Hasn't been unveiled yet. We're slipping this under the door, aren't we? We're going to surprise everybody with this one. We're going to unveil it this morning. The official unveiling will be the 28th at the convocation, along with the True Blue Pledge. Sounds pretty neat, Laurie. Tell us about that.
It is. Well, the True Blue Pledge came out of this task force. It will be unveiled at convocation. And we're really excited to see it. It will be a pledge that all new students will take, our student leaders will take, just affirming what it means to be an MTSU student and what it means to be True Blue.
Sort of building a little camaraderie among the student body and faculty, I guess, too.
Absolutely. And telling the whole community what we are and who we are.
How did this come about? This it makes so much sense, but what sort of got it going? What got the ball rolling in the right direction?
Well, last year we had a very tragic death on campus. Actually, just off campus, but one of our students, Lady Raider basketball player, was killed, Tina Stewart. And it had a great impact on our campus and a great impact on our president. And Dr. McPhee immediately charged a task force with looking at nonviolence and conflict resolution and how we can think about who we are and look at what we do on campus and bring it together under one umbrella to have a focus on working out issues and talking to one another and civility.
You know, as you look at the university, you have 20-something thousand people there. That's a fair-sized city unto itself. But a lot of those people who make up that city are young. They've never been out on their own before. This is their first taste of freedom. And you get a little, you know, wild once in a while. That had to be a real challenge for you to sort of bring civility and teach growing up, almost. That's basically what it is, growing up.
Absolutely. MTSU is bigger than a lot of the communities that our students come from. Just MTSU is a bigger town than mm-hmm. where they're coming from.
Right.
And you're right, they're a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds all in a very small geographical area, and they are all growing up. When I talk to parents when they come for orientation in the summer, I tell them, you will not believe how much your students are going to change even in the next 4 months. From the time they leave high school and come to orientation in the summer to Christmas, they change so much. They grow up so much. And I promise the parents that in your students' eyes, you will become smarter and smarter and smarter as the students learn, and they do mature, and they do start to relate better and more with their parents and their parents' values.
Mm-hmm.
And we want, through this initiative, to help them see that you can disagree with other people without being disagreeable, and you can hold different views and not just shut down and shut that person out. You can talk to one another and learn about one another, and that's what coming to college is all about.
You're preparing them for a productive life, then.
Absolutely. They will not go into the workplace and completely agree with everyone there. They'll have to learn how to work through disagreements and issues with coworkers and with bosses, and we'll help them do that.
Now, this is not obviously the first time MTSU has gone down this path. Maybe you're focusing a little bit more on getting the students to learn how to negotiate, how to resolve conflicts with others. But it seems like this is really a very focused way to do it. Is this way above what other universities are doing? I mean, MTSU seems to be on the cutting edge always.
We like to be. And we certainly are putting a little bit of a laser focus on this issue, but it's not to say we haven't addressed it before. Just like you said, it's an issue that has long been with us. What we did was to take a look at what's already happening on campus, and certainly we've developed some new initiatives, but we're also spotlighting what's going on in our speech classes, our communications classes, and asking those instructors to look a little bit more on argumentation and look a little bit more on evaluating an argument, to look in our English classes and in our university seminar classes at how to resolve conflicts and how to talk to one another.
Now, when there are conflicts, let's look at some of the things the university does as far as responding to these conflicts, to nip it in the bud, I guess, before it gets really out of hand. What is the university doing in that area?
We have a wonderful judicial office where if there are violations to the student code of conduct, then our judicial affairs office would step in. The focus there is always on education, on teachable moments, and helping students to understand why in a community those particular actions aren't productive and can't be tolerated. Now, if it becomes a much more serious situation, if safety is an issue. And so certainly there would be times when our judicial office would have to suspend a student or even expel a student, but those are rare and extreme cases. Normally it's an opportunity for education.
One of the areas that I know the university over the years has been very much involved with and continues to be, and that is violence against women. Tell us about some of the things that this program addresses.
We certainly worked with our June Anderson Women in Non-Traditional Center to look at some of the things they do, like Take Back the Night, which is a program where women do some education on issues of violence against women, and they have a walk just to highlight that it should be safe. And certainly MTSU is a safe campus, and it's something that we address constantly. There are boxes on campus where students can call if they're walking at night, and certainly if they're alone. Male students and female students can call to get an escort from our police department, which is an excellent, very well-trained department, and they too are constantly focused on education and on student safety and on helping students to get to the goal of graduation.
Now, one area that I think everybody realizes is a part of the campus life, not only here but probably on most campuses, is alcohol, and I hate to say drugs, but let's face it, it is there. What is the university doing to reduce that problem?
Absolutely, it does happen. And that's another thing that we talk about with parents at orientation, that we're not going to completely change your student. Students come to us already having experimented with drugs and alcohol. And probably the MTSU experience isn't going to change that. Their maturity process will change it. So students come here already having experimented, and certainly some start to experiment. What we do is to teach students what the consequences are. And on campus, students who live on campus, there is a zero tolerance policy for drugs or drug paraphernalia in the residence halls. It's just not something that goes along with living in that close proximity. So students who are involved with drugs will no longer be allowed to live on campus. And then our judicial affairs office would take over from there. We do a lot surrounding alcohol education and teaching students, once they're legal to use alcohol, how to use it in a responsible manner.
Let me ask you this. We have about a minute left in the program. Let's move ahead to the convocation coming up on August the 28th, when you're going to unveil that True Blue Pledge. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have?
I love convocation. It's our New Year's Eve. It's the night, the day before classes start, and it's a really special event. Students are there with their parents. It's the time that parents turn students over to us, and to have them take that pledge to become an MTSU student, I think will have great impact on them. And then to see that pledge over and over throughout the year, I think will reinforce what they learn at convocation.
Well, our hats off to you, to Dr. McPhee, and everyone at MTSU for creating this task force on nonviolence and conflict resolution, like so many things. It's a shame that it had to be born out of what it was born out of, but at least the leadership at the university saw the need and is moving forward to resolve that. Laurie, thank you for joining us today. Laurie Witherow, telling us about this Task Force on Nonviolence and Conflict Resolution at MTSU. Laurie, have a super day.
Thanks, Bart.
Bye-bye.
Passing white daisies, taking turns. Close the door, walk into the street, catching raindrops on your tongue. And for a minute...
You learn from those with different opinions. You're getting a street smart education from Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC-certified technicians get your car road-ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
WeatherEye.
Mostly sunny skies today as temperatures climb towards 83 degrees. Northwest winds 5 to 10. For tonight, mostly clear. Temperatures dropping back towards 64. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 68.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The only place you'll hear Good Neighbor Talk is WGNS, Murfreesboro. Hey, call a friend right now. Spread that news.
Radio.
And in the midst of sailing ships, we sink our lips into the ones we love that have to say goodbye.
Welcome back. We're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University today. By the way, if you hear a topic, whether it's today's program or some of the others, that you really wanted to hear more about, maybe you missed something and wanted to hear it again, we have all of our programs now podcast on our website. So just go to WGNSradio.com and click on the podcast button, and under Action Line or The Truman Show, Rutherford Issues, whatever it might be, you can find the program that you wanted more about. On this segment of the program, we continue our conversation about Middle Tennessee State University. And visiting with us is Nancy James. A very special anniversary coming up, celebrating the Child Care Lab on the campus.
at MTSU. Nancy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Tell us, first of all, what is the Child Care Lab? What is its goal? What is its purpose?
It is a daycare service on campus that was started 30 years ago, and it is to provide child care service for students, our first priority, and then to the employees of MTSU. And we are also open to community children if we are able to accept them after giving the first and second priority to the campus community.
Is it also a teaching location?
Yes, we have a two-pronged mission. One is, of course, to provide that child care service so that parents can work or go to school. And our second mission is to be a laboratory setting, which means that various academic departments can use our facility to fulfill some of their requirements of their classes. Those students have the opportunity to come over and see firsthand preschool age children and how they function and their development, and they also use it as sometimes as research site, as a research site. So we have that two-pronged mission at the university.
MTSU, and if people are new to town, they may not realize this, one of the really big areas is creating teachers, training teachers.
Right. And of course, that with the 100-year celebration coming up, that was its main purpose in coming into existence, is a teacher college. And so we are the early childhood field is very new, relatively new compared to other disciplines. But they do have an excellent early childhood education program there. And so we're just happy to help out in that academic area. But different departments use us, from psychology, social work, music education, physical education. So quite a few of the departments other than the early childhood department uses our facility.
So this is the 30th anniversary, is that right?
30 wow. years that this lab has been in existence. Actually, the thought of having child care on campus started in the late 60s and into the 70s. They had, different grants from time to time that they would open up a facility. But this one came into existence in 1981 with the approval of then President Sam Ingram, and it has been there ever since. So there was kind of a long-term commitment to be sure that it continued on past any kind of grant money or anything like that.
As you look back over the past 30 years, what are the accomplishments that you are most proud for this lab?
Well, of course, the children. We have served quite a few. We just had one of our former children be the Fulbright Scholarship Award winner last year, and
wow.
So we were very proud of him. And we also are going into our second generation of children that I have seen there. I have been there 23 years. Ms. Zona Frazier, who's one of our lead teachers, she's been there 26 years, and our other lead teacher, Anita Nicholson, starting her 11th year with us. And so we are very proud of the children that have come through, and now we're seeing those children have children, and we have their children there now. So that's probably one of my personal proudest achievements, is to see how wonderful they have grown up. But we're also very proud that we have been able to continually and consistently provide quality care for those children, and also provide that academic component for any of the departments who may need us.
Over the 30-year period, society has certainly changed.
Yes.
Technology has dramatically changed.
Yes.
And I guess people and parenting have changed probably pretty much as well. What are some of the challenges you face over this, not only the past 30 years, but especially today? Is it getting more difficult to do the job that you know you should do?
Right. I think over the years, just like with anything in education, you'll have different types of ways to work with children come out, and some are more effective than others. But to me, it really hasn't changed a lot, because children are still the same when they're 3 to 5. They still need that attention. They need that love and care. So really, our basic core components on how we work with children really they haven't changed, and they won't change, because all children need love and care at that point. And so that's the wonderful thing about working with preschoolers, is that they want to be have that attention, have that love and care, and they'll do just about, they're like sponges, they'll eat up just about anything you do. And I think as long as you have that, it doesn't matter. There are behavioral issues, but I think that's always been. I don't think really that has changed.
Well, you know, you mentioned that one of your graduates, I guess you could say, one of the alumni has come back and had received the Fulbright scholarship, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
It makes you think, well, you know, the 3 to 5 year olds, that is the period when the child is formed. That's when their habits, whether they're good or bad habits in learning and things of that sort, are created.
Yes.
Do you think that, you know, this Fulbright scholarship, that says a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the students who are going through this lab, the 3 to 5 year olds, are getting, you know, an edge on other students who are not going through there?
Well, I think one of the things that has changed over the years when you're talking about changes is that more research has been done in brain development and in early childhood just in the past 23 years that I've been there. When I first came to MTSU, there was really no early childhood education program. Of course, now they have an excellent department. And there's been a lot of research, and of course, that research does show that children who are exposed to a preschool and even infant toddlers exposed to a set amount of disciplines in that area do much better. And that's why pre-K in Tennessee has done so well, because they're getting them early, they're helping them out get a great start, and you just can't do better than getting your children off to the right start.
Well, you hear things about infants and toddlers learning sign language before they're able to speak, and they're communicating.
Right.
And so let's take it to the next level, the 3 to 5 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
Are you introducing them to a foreign language, learning a second or third language?
Well, one of the wonderful things about being on a university setting is that we have a diverse group of children. We have children who, and a lot of them sometimes come with English being their second language, or not even speaking. We have had children start at our facility who only speak Chinese, who only speak Russian, who only speak, and it blows our mind as well as others that come in that when they start, they cannot understand us very well, but it doesn't even take almost a semester before they are able to talk to us. Children really have that ability to learn quickly because they're not hardwired like we are now as old folks who have a hard time thinking about learning a second language or learning new things. But their minds are still developing, and so they're able to pick up on things very quickly. And it's just wonderful to see them come in not being able to speak the English language, but before a few months is out, they're able to communicate with you. So it is amazing, and I think we have that advantage because we do have such a diverse group of children. We also have at our availability all of the wonderful experts on campus, and so we certainly use resources on campus to help us work with children, and so we're very blessed in that way.
Are you finding that it works the other way too? You mentioned a lot of students who come in, children who don't have English as their primary language, but for those who do have English as a primary language, when they are put in contact with these other students, do they learn their languages?
Well, they do pick up on some of that, but what I really like that they pick up on is the fact that even though these children are different than them, they don't seem to have a problem with that. And just like Lori was talking about earlier with the learning to be accepting of other cultures and other ways people think, I think children do very well with that, and they're very accepting of each other. They just want to be friends. They just want to play. And so they look beyond the language barrier, and they look beyond some of the cultural differences that they have because they just want to play with each other. And I think it starts very early, this acceptance of other cultures, and preschoolers are very good at doing that.
As you have had this now for 30 years, that gives you a pretty good group of people to study their successes, study how they mingle with society in their adult years. Mm-hmm. What are you finding? Are you finding that this is working just as you had indicated there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. And like I said, we've had some of our children grow up, and now their children are there. And we see how wonderful and well-adjusted they are and how they're working with their child. And it makes us feel good to know that some of the things that we taught them, that they are now teaching their children. So I think it is certainly very beneficial for a child to be in a structured setting like that and to work with the parents. We have resources for them. We have workshops for them. And it only helps because they now have a generation that they're teaching those skills to.
Now, since you mentioned that MTSU was started as a teaching college, in fact, prior to, I think it was 1965, it was called Middle Tennessee State Teachers College. Mm-hmm. Prior to that time, and it has a long, rich tradition of creating educators. Is this program, the lab, is that being used as sort of a sample of what can be done in public school? Are public schools using the information that you're putting together after 30 years of work, really, at the MTSU Child Care Lab?
Well, I think so. And I think when the pre-K program began and Governor Bredesen was looking at starting the pre-K program, he was very wise to turn to some leaders in the state of Tennessee with that deal with early childhood education. And some of those leaders were at public universities. And I think they tried to take some of the things that we had found out and mistakes that we had made and take those and start a program in the public schools, because pre-K, working with children that young, is different than working with the kindergarten through 12th grade, obviously, even the early elementary years. Because working with children that young, you have to not have it as a totally structured setting. It has to have that free play, that exploratory environment. And I think they were wise not to try to make it like a watered-down kindergarten class. So I think that by things that we have done at our university and other universities, I think they have taken that and helped start the pre-K program in the public schools.
As the director of the Child Care Lab, what are you looking at as some of the challenges that are facing you right now? What are some of the big hurdles that you want to get over?
Well, one is just providing the service to everyone who needs it. We are still a very small program. We started out licensed for 24 children, 3 to 5 year olds, and we are still a licensed facility for 24 3 to 5 year olds. So we haven't grown, whereas MTSU has. Back when it started in the 1981, there were probably around 8,000 students, and not a big percentage of those were non-traditional students, which means students 23 years of age and up. Now MTSU is, 25,000 students, and a lot of those students are non-traditional students. And with the economy being the way it is, people who have children are coming back to school more and more. And so their dilemma is, how do I go to school and still have quality care for my children that are not school age yet? So I think one of the big hurdles is just trying to provide the service for all who need it. Funding, I guess, is the issue for everyone.
And it sounds like you are meeting those challenges successfully in the MTSU Child Care Lab. We have about a minute left in the program. Is there any final thought you'd like to share with us?
Well, I would just like to, we are starting to advertise that we are doing a 30-year reception for our anniversary, to recognize our anniversary, and it's going to be on September the 29th from 4 to 6 at our facility, which is located on Alumni Drive at the Will McLean Apartment Building. So I encourage anyone who's listening who has had any connection with the university lab to be there. We would like for them to drop by and say hello, our former students, our former parents, people who work there, some of the dignitaries and administrators who have helped keep us going. So anyone who would like to come by and see our facility, we hope that they will come by on September the 29th. To visit us.
Well, we certainly thank you for visiting with us today and sharing all of the exciting things that have happened over the past three decades of growth at the MTSU Child Care Lab. Nancy James, the director of the program, visiting with us this morning. Nancy, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Thank you.
All of you have a super rest of the day. Our hats off to Middle Tennessee State University. This is the big year for them. The 100th anniversary of MTSU. And we'll be telling you more about that as the year progresses. Don't forget, circle September the 9th on your calendar. That is a true blue day. We'll tell you more, too. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic visiting with us tomorrow, physician Dr. Pamela Singer. We're going to be talking about migraine headaches. If you have had those, you'll definitely want to be with us tomorrow.